the myth of the wolf, what the Sierra Club and other wolf advocates have called the myth of the wolf, being a, you know, a child killer and eating cows and sheep and decimating livestock herds, it's entrenched in the ranching communities of the Western United States. How would you dispel that myth?
Well, education and hopefully eventually experience. We have an advisory board where, for these very reasons, we wanted to pull together people from all sides of this issue that are, you know, in one way or another are affected by wolves. And so we have hunters and we have ranchers on that advisory board. But we want to work with ranchers that have some experience with wolves so that they can bring the message to those who don't. One of the ranchers that we work with out of Alberta, Joe Englehart, he has been living with wolves for generations before him. They've always been there. They find it unfortunate, but also they're mildly entertained by all the hysteria down here in the lower 48 around wolves.
Mildly entertained.
It's not the boogeyman, you know. It's an animal that has a biological function. Do they eat some sheep? Yes, they do. Do they eat some cattle? Even fewer, yes, but not much, right? For instance, in Idaho, we have, I don't have a current statistic. Last data I have is from 2014, but in that year, wolves ate 46 out of 2.2 million head of cows. So that's one in every 53,000. But let's say that one rancher has 100 head, and the wolves get into his herd one night and kill, out of those 46 that got killed over the year, maybe he lost 6 to 10. That's a significant impact to that individual. Okay, so it isn't a false reality, but it is overblown. But for those who are impacted, there needs to be solutions. There needs to be ways to work with those people. You know, we owe a lot to the ranching community for the quality of the West. You know, sure, there are issues with riparian areas and things like that. However, what you see in Colorado when ranches get sold off is a lot of subdevelopment, you know, and you lose even more of the ecosystem. So we do owe much gratitude to the ranching community for the history that they had that kept this land intact, you know, at least much better than it would be under other types of development. We would like to see a way forward that includes ranching. You know, so there are a lot of techniques. The catchy phrase is non-lethal techniques that people have developed that encourage coexistence, and ranchers are able to employ these techniques. The oldest one is the gaucho, the cowboy. It's called now a range rider. You know, I mean, people that are present with the herd day and night. You know, and so that is a very important part of that, is returning to our roots when we didn't have a land that was cleansed of all carnivores, right? And so if we're willing to bring carnivores back in healthy populations, we need to be able to return to some of those older practices. Then there are newer practices, such as turboflagry, which is an electrified version of flagry. Flagry is flapping flags that flutter in the wind, and for about 90 days or so, wolves are pretty deterred by that. But again, there needs to be people present that move those and put them up over. Usually, they're used for night penning and things like that. Also, you know, some of the retraining cattle to herd. A lot of our cattle now scatter over large areas.
They drift.
Some breeds tend to herd better. Well, if you look at wolves hunting bison, that's their best defense, is to herd up, and same with elk. The, you know, safety's in numbers. They flank themselves and protect themselves in a circle, and usually, like with bison, they often put the young in the middle, the most vulnerable, you know, and the investment in the future. So there's a lot of just understanding biology that can go into helping coexistence. Is it a little bit more work? Yes, it can be. You know, perhaps the eco-conscious communities in this, which there are many of in this state, would be willing to pay a little bit more for wolf-friendly steak or lamb.
Interesting.
That's, you know, perhaps that's an angle to look at. Maybe there's a way that it could be marketed to say, hey, you know what, we're doing the right thing. We're doing what you guys would like to see done here. So, you know, perhaps you can pay a little bit of a premium for that product. That's one concept worth looking into in a state that has such great potential. But I think it's really important to recognize what it means to not have your top-level carnivore in place, especially over time.